Seminary Ridge was thick with trees, but the fields on both sides were bare. Pickett's troops were beginning to form in the fields to the west, out of sight of the Union line. Longstreet rode to watch them, then back out through the trees to face east, looking up toward the Union line. His staff was with him, Gaunt Gory asleep in his saddle, refusing to lie down. Longstreet saw a familiar figure standing some distance out in the field, alone, looking toward the Union line. He rode that way. Armstead, looking up toward Hancock's wall. Longstreet stopped, nodded, let the man alone, rode away. Poor old Lowe. Well, all over soon, one way or the other. Lee was coming back down the line, aides preceding him to keep the men from cheering. Alexander's guns were moving, realigning. Horses were pulling caissons into position, stirring the dust. Lee was trim and calm, all business. He suggested they ride the lines again. Longstreet agreed silently. Pickett rode up, asked to accompany them. All the attack would guide on Pickett. It was necessary there be no mistake at all. The three men rode together along the front of the dark woods, in front of the cannon, the troops. The woods behind them a dark wall, and the long, flat green rise in front of them, spreading upward and outward to the Emmitsburg Road. The rise beyond that, the visible breastworks, the stone wall near the crest, well named Cemetery Ridge. Lee discussed the attack with Pickett. Longstreet was silent. There was a dip in the ground near the center. They rode down out of sight of the Union line. Lee was telling Pickett how to maneuver his troops sideways when he reached the road, so that they would converge on that clump of trees toward the center. He had many suggestions as to how to use the ground. Longstreet dropped slightly behind them. They came out into the open again, in front of the point of woods from which Lee would watch the assault. Longstreet looked up the long rise. He could begin to see it. When the troops came out of the woods, the artillery would open up. Long-range artillery, percussion and solid shot, every gun on the hill. The guns to the right, on the rocky hill, would enfilade the line. The troops would be under fire with more than a mile to walk. And so they would go. A few hundred yards out, still in the open field, they would come within range of skirmish, aimed rifles. Losses would steadily increase. When they reached the road, they would be slowed by the fence there, and the formation, if it still held, would begin to come apart. Then they would be within range of the rifles on the crest. When they crossed the road, they would begin to take canister fire and thousands of balls of shrapnel wiping huge holes in the lines. As they got closer, there would be double canister. If they reached the wall without breaking, there would not be many left. It was a mathematical equation. But maybe the artillery would break up the defense. There was that hope. But that was Hancock up there, and Hancock would not run. So it is mathematical after all. If they reach the road and get beyond it, they will suffer 50% casualties. I do not think they will even reach the wall. Lee asked his advice on artillery support. Longstreet gave it quietly. They rode back down the line. A quietness was beginning to settle over the field. The sun was rising toward noon. They came back toward Longstreet's line. Lee said, "Well, we have left nothing undone. It is all in the hands of God." Longstreet thought, "It isn't God that is sending those men up that hill." But he said nothing. Lee rode away. Pickett said earnestly, "Sir, how much time do we have?" Terrible question. But he did not know what he was asking. Longstreet said, "Plenty of time. The guns will fire for at least an hour." Pickett slapped his thighs. It's the waiting, sir, you know. Well, sir, I think I'll have the troops lie down. Then I'll write to Sally. You'll see it's delivered, sir? Longstreet nodded. Pickett rode off.